seem fun, and info, finfo, or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Dr. Holly Lucille is off teaching at the Bastyr University in San Diego, the newest of our naturopathic schools to open. I am here to carry the show today, and we are talking about carnitine. Now, carnitine, for those of you who don't know it, carnitine is a very, very popular nutritional supplement for heart disease. And what's kind of interesting about this segment for me is my two sides. I'm a naturopathic physician, and I'm also a cardiologist. Both sides get to play in here. And it's probably an area that, after looking at the data, that I'm one of the more uniquely qualified people to give an opinion on. Number one thing I want to say is in conventional research, it is very common for them to bash nutritional supplements. It is very common for them to, out of context, take research and make something that is really probably very good for you and maybe make it look not so good. I think of vitamin E. It's the type of vitamin E, when prescribed well, I think is incredibly protective for heart. But if you look at it in a certain light, it might not be so good for you. Now we're going to talk about carnitine. And actually, in addition to this, lecithin. A lot of people take lecithin for heart disease as well as carnitine. My simple answer at the beginning of this is carnitine can be a problem, period. Lecithin can be a problem. I have never been big on prescribing lecithin for heart patients. It's a soy derivative. It was alleged to help dissolve plaques in arteries. I never ever saw it do that. It was alleged to do a lot of different things for heart. I never saw any evidence of it, so I always stayed away from it. Here's what the studies showed. We're back to gut again. And what it showed is in meat eaters or carnitine supplementers or lecithin supplementers that when it hit the gut, there was a chemical reaction with a bacteria in the gut. Now, I want to take a step back for a second and talk about where this originated. We were trying to find out, why does red meat cause heart disease? We all know it does, but why? Where is that piece in? Red meat happens to be very high in carnitine. So that was the beginning driver for this. Now let's speed up to 2013, where people are taking 2,000 milligrams of carnitine routinely all the time, or even higher amounts of lecithin routinely all the time in order to prevent or treat their existing heart disease. Well, they started to phase that old red meat research into this carnitine lecithin link. There's a substance called TMAO. The substance, it's got a long fancy chemical name that I'm going to hurt myself if I try and say it on the radio, but I'll try it. Triethylamine N-oxide. And this substance we know is linked to atherosclerosis. And basically what happens is lecithin or carnitine was given to some healthy volunteers. This is now we're talking about the study that was published in Cleveland Clinic that's got all the carnitine companies up in a rage and all the lecithin lovers just stomping their feet and going, what's going on? They're not taking my lecithin away. But they studied it. They ran in Cleveland Clinic. They looked at lecithin. They looked at carnitine. And they gave it to a healthy group of volunteers before and after receiving antibiotics. Now, here's the thing. Lecithin and carnitine by itself are fine. They are fine. They probably have heart benefit. I'm not so sure about lecithin, but carnitine absolutely does have a heart benefit. We're going to go in towards the end of this. But they gave the carnitine and the lecithin to mice. And what they found out is when those mice had normal bacteria in their gut, that the bacteria in their digestive tract converted it into something called TMO, or a precursor of TMO. But basically this TMAO stuff, the bad stuff, when they gave them the carnitine and lecithin, the gut bugs converted it into this nasty TMAO compound that has been linked to atherosclerosis. Connecting the bridges goes carnitine and lecithin in the digestive tract, raises TMO, atherosclerosis. They also gave this to mice that they gave antibiotics to. And guess what happened? Lecithinic carnitine got to the gut, converted to TMO in a lot lower amount, and therefore a lot lower potential risk of atherosclerosis. So if you're listening to this, there's a lot of problems with this study. Number one, it's mice. Human aren't mice. Number two is they have not linked carnitine to heart disease. They have linked certain individuals who may have certain gut bugs to carnitine, that carnitine may raise TMAO in. There's no positive link here. This is the smoking gun. It just doesn't exist here. But should people be supplementing with carnitine or lecithin? I think that there's an indication for carnitine. I don't think there's an indication for lecithin. Let's go a little deeper into this. What is carnitine supposed to do positively? We already talked a little about lecithin, but what is carnitine supposed to do positively? Carnitine helps essential fatty acids, like our good fish oils, get into the heart. The heart feeds on good fats. The heart will feed on bad fats if that's all it has, but the heart likes to feed on that DHA, that good fish oil. The brain is more of a sugar lover. That's why some people feel clearer when they eat sugar. But the heart is a fat lover, and it loves to burn DHA. DHA and other fats need carnitine to enter cells. If anybody has studied insulin, you understand that sugar by itself will not get into cells. Sugar plus insulin gets into cells. Carnitine plus fats allows it to get into the heart. So carnitine is something necessary for life. Carnitine is an amino acid, but is not an essential amino acid, meaning your body will manufacture some carnitine when it's low out of other amino acids. So there is no reason purely dietarily to just take carnitine. So carnitine has this medical need for a healthy heart. When it gets into higher levels, it absolutely can raise this TMAO. So what's the use for carnitine? I have patients who come in who have heart attacks or very, very stressed hearts. When hearts are stressed, they like to burn sugar. When hearts are healthy, they like to burn fat. Part of that mechanism is to why they convert over to only burning sugar. Part of that mechanism is that they're low carnitine. I will sometimes supplement carnitine before this study, and I will continue to do it after to some degree, but I will not give 2,000 milligrams. I will only give 1,000 milligrams. But here's where it changes. If I ever give carnitine to a patient again, I will also give probiotics. I will give good bacteria, or if a patient has diarrhea, constipation, irritable bowel, or any sign that they have bad bowel conditions containing these bacteria, I will not give them the carnitine. So the study changes things, listeners. If you're out there and you're chewing carnitine or taking carnitine supplement for your heart, this should change what you're doing. I would either get rid of it, or if you are somebody that is a type A personality with a stressed heart for whatever reason, then I might go 1,000 milligrams always with fish oil. But what changes now is carnitine should never, ever be given without probiotics, ever. The other thing with this is it still has mostly to do with red meat. All of the carnitine information is another reason to keep red meat to an absolute minimum or out of your life. It is still the absolute bigger story in this. Yes, as naturopathic physicians, as cardiologists, as holistic folks, we have to change what we're doing. So in conclusion, carnitine, yeah, in some cases, but always given with probiotics. Look for the new TMAO levels to be run. It looks like Cleveland Heart Labs can have a lab out there to check it. And the big thing, reason number 10, to stop eating red meat. That's the real lesson we're teaching you at Radio MD.